Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Welcome to, or welcome back to, Gardening Naturally. Good gardening day today. The sun's not going to be blasting down on us much. The temperatures are nice. We've got a decent breeze going on. This is a good day outside. I'm glad. I need to go out and do some mowing, a little more weed eating. It just seems endless. Not how I want to spend my time. I'd rather be sitting on the back porch all the time, enjoying the weather rather than having to take care of it. Now, we planted our tomatoes and planted peppers the other day. My peppers already have buds on them that are starting to open up. Same with my tomatoes. Seeing the yellow flower, getting ready to make tomatoes for me. But we also planted cowpeas. We mixed them in with the tomatoes, and they're in a better, bigger part of the bed that we didn't plant anything in yet. So they're going to be improving the soil. Really looking forward to that. We planted sunflowers. Haven't seen any come up yet. But we planted cardinal climber, and that has made an appearance already. So things are moving along just fine. Pretty quickly, too. Let's go to the phone. This is Doreen. Doreen, what can I help you with?
Hi. I have a cross vine that has been sick for the last couple of years. The one next to it died. It has some kind of a fungal disease. And I want to know if I should get rid of it. I'd like to plant another vine, not necessarily a cross vine, in that particular area. Is it okay to do that?
Yes, except when you go to remove your cross vine, it's probably rooted out pretty good. So you may get this burst of surprise shoots coming up out of the ground. So you'll have to deal with those. That's not a bad thing. But you will have to deal with them, or you're going to have your new vine and the cross vine mixed together.
Okay, and so I definitely don't want to do that, correct?
No, you can. You can. You just have to put in a little extra work.
Right.
Pay attention, and when you see the new cross vine shoots, since you don't want it anymore, you're going to have to cut those back. Keep cutting them back to the ground so they don't try to grow a new cross vine on you.
Okay. So there's no way that whatever that fungal disease is that it has, that I've tried to doctor it, and it just is not responding to anything. It's not going to pass that on to the new vine that I plant in that area?
Well, a couple of things here. Many diseases are pretty specific to the plant. So, for example, you could have Carolina jessamine, and you could have your cross vine. And the disease that affects the cross vine may not bother the Carolina jessamine at all.
Okay.
So you always take that chance. Second, how do you know it's a fungal disease?
Well, I took a leaf into one of the local nurseries, and they told me it was a fungal disease. It's the one, I had two of them. One of them died. It just totally died last year. And the other one was healthy. Another one that was healthy is sickly looking like the other one was. And the leaves are getting purple spots. They get new leaves. It bloomed flowers recently, but the new growth gets all spotted with purple and eventually turns yellow and drops off.
Okay. Not knowing, because I don't have a microscope, I don't have the leaf, I don't have the ability to really zoom in on it, but you're describing a disease called Entomosporium leaf spot. Indian hawthorn, photinias get it. Your coral vine may have it. It is an airborne disease. It is spread with the wind. It gets on the leaves and attacks them. It is not something that's coming up out of the soil.
Oh, okay.
So if you remove it and you put a new vine in, it should be okay. You
All right.
may want to talk to your nursery and ask them, what vines do they have that are either resistant or immune to Entomosporium leaf spot?
Okay. Do you know right offhand any vines that are resistant to it, like the Carolina jasmine, perhaps?
Yes, and the star jasmine
mm-hmm.
is a beautiful vine because it puts on such beautiful and delicious smell flowers. Passion flower vine.
Passion flower vine, okay, good.
Yeah. You can do some annual vines. I mentioned I have Cardinal Climber from seed coming up right now. Moonflower vine, that's a little slow to get started.
Mm-hmm.
But it can run 30 feet, and it makes this most beautiful white flower that blooms at night.
Oh, okay.
But there are quite a few vines that wouldn't be bothered by it.
Okay, that's good. That's good, because I was thinking of a Carolina jasmine, actually.
Well, that's a pretty good grower. It doesn't
okay.
bloom as much as some of the others. It puts on that beautiful spring bloom. But then it's pretty much just green.
Right. Well, would it be a good idea to go ahead and dig up the cross vine and get rid of it completely, or just
yeah,
leave
if,
it there?
If you're going to get rid of it, there is a spray you can apply that will help defeat or reduce the amount of Entomosporium that attacks your plant. The problem is you're going to have to spray it a lot. It's
uh-huh.
most noticeable early in the spring in the cooler, more humid, damper weather. So you would have to spray probably once a week, which if that was worth it to you, have at it. You can get the plant to put on new leaves that won't be affected.
Okay. I just don't know if I want to go through all that trouble and it's still not... You know,
yeah, that's
still
okay. That's how I decide on many of my plants. Sorry, I got to work on you too much during the year. I'll replace you with something else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that information.
Sure. Good
and
luck.
I love you. I love your show.
Well, thank you, Doreen. And you're going to have a lot of choices for vines that you can use. So don't be disappointed.
Okay. All righty. You have a nice day. A nice Easter.
You
Thank
too.
You.
Thanks for the call. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I got a break. I'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Lovely day to be outside. Let's go to the phone. This is Shayla. Shayla, what can I help you with?
Hi. I want to plant in my garden, but I want to plant some plants that would deers wouldn't eat.
Okay. Let's see. Plastic plants, deers won't eat. Metal plants, deers won't eat. Sorry, I'm not trying to be funny, but there are plants deer will avoid. Rosemary is one plant that they won't eat. But to get a better selection, there's a website. It's called growgreen.org. growgreen.org. They have a list of plants that do really well here in Texas. But they also, in their listings, tell you this is a deer-resistant planting. And there's one thing you really, really, really have to remember. Deer-resistant. It doesn't mean it's deer-proof. You may still get deer decide to take bites out of it. But it is plants that are least likely to be attacked by them.
Okay.
And the plants they list are ones that grow here. So they're not going to list some crazy stuff that you can't find. The plants they have are plants that will grow here and do well. Flowering plants and trees and all kinds of shrubs, they'll do great.
All right. Well, thank you for your help.
Thanks for the call, Shayla.
All right, bye.
Yeah, folks. I don't have deer. I'm sorry. I can't relate to how bad deer are. And yeah, I get it. They're pretty nasty. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's go to the phone. This is Lee. Lee, what can I help you with?
You know, I just want to thank you for your show. I'm a little down today because I won't be able to see my family, but I just want to tell you, you just made my day. And not to be rude, but that young lady called and said, I need some plants the deer won't eat. And then when you said plastic metal, oh, my God, I just broke out laughing so hard right here by myself. It was just the perfect day, perfect answer for the day.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Trying to stay connected. Having a hard time with it, so please bear with. Great day to be outside working. No blazing sun. Moderate temperatures. Looks a little bit breezy outside. That happens. This is a good time of the year to do your turf fertilizing. Your spring fertilizer. You can get it out there now. You don't have to wait any longer. And it will be just fine to put it down now to start you with a good spring green turf. Now, a lot of people ask, so I put down a fertilizer and it was granular or similar. Do I have to water it in? Well, no, you don't have to immediately water it in. When we get rain, yes. I know what that sounds like. But when we get rain, the rainwater will dissolve it and leach it into the soil to get to the root zone. Now, if we don't get rain and you are using a sprinkler system to take care of your turf, well, the sprinkler system, when it runs, will soak the ground, melt the fertilizer, and feed your turf. So you can put it down now and just wait for it to rain if you want to. And it'll do just fine. It is a good time, though, to consider that fertilizing. Bermuda grass and St. Augustine should both be waking up this time of the year in these temperatures. So we're going to hope for the best here. What else should we be doing? For those of you who are outdoor people in your yard, if you haven't, you might want to consider putting down some sulfur. I have yet, something has bitten me and it itches, but it is not what I consider to be a chigger. So I'm not sure what it is. It's got a weird bite pattern. But sprinkling the sulfur will help repel all kinds of insects that you don't really want wandering around in your yard. It's safe. It lasts a long time. And even after a single rain, you don't get rid of all of it. And the nice thing is when using sulfur, as it is melted into the soil with water, it'll be slightly acidic. And that improves the conditions of almost every bit of Central Texas soil. There are places in Central Texas that do have a very acidic soil, but they're kind of few and far between. And they would not be harmed by adding the sulfur. So consider getting out there and treating the pests that may be around. I would tell you it's a good day to go after the weeds. You know, get out your organic weed killer of choice and go out there and spot treat. But you have to remember the weed killers are non-selective. You spray it on a weed and it'll kill the weed. You spray it on grass, it can kill the grass. So in a very windy day, like the wind we're dealing with today, maybe it's not a good day to go out there and spray. You know, wind gusts up to 25 today. Wow, that's too much wind to be out there spraying your herbicides or your pesticides. Because you're going to get overspray. You're going to get them to go everywhere where you don't want them. So you have to be careful with that. Let's go to the phone. This is Dana. Dana, what can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. I need some color in my backyard, and I'm trying to decide where I would get more blooms for my buck between a dwarf crepe myrtle or a rose bush. And I would prefer it not to be over 5 or 6 feet high and maybe not get over 4 foot wide.
Well, you're describing a rose bush. Let me say, first off, you can get shorter crepe myrtles and you can prune them pretty heavily. So
okay.
You can control the height that way. But a rose bush tends to bloom more frequently than your crepe myrtle. Now, granted, you may get a rose bloom and it lasts a week or two. You get a crepe myrtle bloom, it could last a month. So I don't think you have a bad choice. Both are incredibly hardy. Both of them are easy to maintain. And both of them can be pruned to control their size to what you're looking for.
Okay, could you give me some recommendations of rose bushes? I'm not familiar with roses. I know there's the knockout rose. Do you have maybe some ideas that would stay smaller and give me a lot of blooms?
Well, I have one that's called Marie Pave, and it doesn't need as much sun as most roses do. And right now it is blooming, and I can't see the leaves. It has so many blooms on it, I can barely make out where the green leaves are. It is gorgeous. Now, I'll have to cut those blooms off, when they get a little older so that I can encourage new growth and get another round of blooms.
Oh.
But it's a rose. It does that. It can handle that just fine. But that's just one example. The knockouts, good choices. There are so many roses.
Okay.
You can go on the web and, oh gosh, I knew that would happen. I can't remember the name of it. Antique Rose Emporium.
Oh, okay.
If you search for them, you don't have to go all the way to Brenham to pick up the rose, but they can give you some ideas as to what they're going to look like, how big they are, et cetera, et cetera. And that way that can help you make choices as to what roses you may want to try.
That sounds good. And the one that you had was a Maria Pave?
Yes, I believe that's the name of it.
Okay, because they will be in full sun. Okay, well, I will go to the Antique Rose Emporium and look around. Plus, we have green and growing here in town, so they could probably shoot me in the right direction. Thank you so much, Jeff.
You bet. Thank you for the call. And folks, she mentioned green and growing. Oh, man, great nursery. Great nursery. For those of you in the Pflugerville area, well, I'm in Round Rock, and I go to them. They are a wonderful nursery, and they can really help you pick out a good rose. You can, you know, with plants anymore, we've got such a broad palette that we can really fit things in to go, I need one that's 3 feet wide and 6 feet tall, and I don't want to have to prune it, and I'd love it if it blew.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, everybody. Dana's comment about, you know, I want this or that. I want a rose or I want a dwarf crepe myrtle. She was basing it on what the appearance of the plant should be, where she was going to put it. And that's fine. That's a perfectly great idea to pick a plant with. You can get ones that fit. There are dwarf crepe myrtles. They'll top out at 6 feet maybe, and they won't complain much if you're pruning them a lot. They're very versatile. But they don't bloom as frequently as a rose may. You can easily encourage a rose to bloom again and again and again. And they have varieties of roses where maybe they'll only bloom once during the year. Okay. Lady Banks comes to mind. That big shower of flowers, and then it's all green. But they do have roses that repeat bloom, lots of blooms. And you can encourage the repeat bloom by going out there and when it blooms and the flower is pretty much done and ugly looking, you can do what's called deadheading. You remove the dead flowers. You're going to prune them off. And with some selective pruning, and a little attention to what you're trimming, you can control not only new growth, which will encourage new blooming, but you can also encourage the plant to grow in the size and shape you want it to. Roses have a single stem. Imagine a pencil. And on the four sides of the pencil, there'll be a bud. Think of the four points of a compass. If you cut off directly above a bud, that bud is pointing to the direction to where the new branch on the rose will grow. So if you want your rose to grow more internal growth, to get denser, or you want the rose to be more open You control that by how you trim it. And it responds very well to this. And when you get a whole bunch of blooms and you go out and deadhead them, when you go out and you remove them, take a minute to look and see if you need to encourage the rose to grow in a different direction. Maybe everything has been growing too dense and it blooms, but you can't really get to see them. You can prune it so that the growth will begin going out, expanding, and have blooms on it, and make it a more attractive rose. So roses are really versatile. And the people who, you know, think, oh, you got to have seances and special chants, and you got to use this certain fertilizer only when it's a full moon to get a good rose. No, you don't. Our native Texas roses are gorgeous. They are so tough because think about where they're growing. In some of the worst soil in Texas, in the worst heat and drought, and you know what? They just soldier on. They do just fine with the minimal amount of care. You don't have to babysit them every minute. You just let them grow. Take off the old blooms. Let them put on new ones for you. They're easy. And you know, when we get to Valentine, well, we're past it. Shows you how much I've been paying attention. We're past Valentine's Day, but so often somebody will say, send a dozen roses. Send a dozen long-stemmed red roses. Let me send you dead flowers. That's what you're doing. You're sending dead flowers that with luck will last, what, 2 weeks in a vase or a vase? When you can send a single rose and plant it for them, and with a minimal amount of care, they can always have flowers. They can always have new roses. You can pick color, style, climbing roses or dwarf roses. All of these combinations. And it's so much better than sending dead flowers. So much better. You will get much more enjoyment out of planting that rose and getting it to come up and enjoying the blooms as they form. And you know, nothing says you can't cut the bud off and bring it in, put it in a vase and let it open up inside. The rose won't care. The rose, when you remove a bud, is going to turn around and go, whoa, I need to replace that, and put on a new bud for you. They are really the plant to do wonderful things for and get such beauty out of the garden. I'm having a couple of roses. I have a red knockout, and it's blooming, going to town. And my Marie Pave, like I've continually mentioned, exploded in blooms. I can't believe how many blooms it has on it. It looks so pretty. It is really a beautiful rose. It's going to take me some time when the blooms finally fade to go out there and trim it. I mean, it really has that many blooms on it. But I get to shape it. It got planted in a place that is no longer the right place for it. So I need to move it. But I can also completely control the size and shape of it when I go out and take care of the blooms. Roses should be pretty much in everyone's garden. Don't let the snobs tell you, oh no, you need this certain soil and you need a certain kind of plant and you need to do this and that. Nah. Roses would grow as a weed if you let them. Oh, I'm getting some texts. Let me help people out here. Hill Country Water Gardens is closed today. They decided not to open. They gave their staff the day with their family. So Hill Country is not open today. And I know if you head out to their website and you look, you really can't tell. Their website doesn't say holiday hours very clearly. They are not open today. So don't head out there looking to get something at Hill Country Water Gardens. I am not really sure what other nurseries are staying open today. They didn't send a list to us saying, hey, tell people we're not going to be open or we are going to be open. So call ahead. That's really the easiest thing you can do. Just check in. Are you open today? If they answer the phone, they probably are. And it's not a bad day to go out to a nursery if they're open. The weather is nice. It's worth walking around outside. Get to look at new selections. See what you may want to plant in your garden. And look for more beautiful flowers like roses. They're truly wonderful. Just got a note. Natural Gardener is open. So there you go, folks. Best I can do for you. Folks, this has been Gardening Naturally. Y'all enjoy the rest of your weekend with your family. I will talk to you again next Saturday at 9 o'clock.